You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me by phone this morning, the Reverend John Dreyer from Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for, I guess it's afternoon for you. Tell me where you are these days.
Yeah, I'm in Germany at the moment. I'm at the Lutheran Seminary in Oberursel, and I haven't had a vacation for quite a while, and so I decided to come out here to do some studying, actually, and spend a couple of weeks at the seminary and interacting with some friends, too, I have over here in Germany. So
you're spending some of your vacation afternoon talking with me. That's very nice. Very kind of you.
Yeah.
Well,
very happy to, Andy.
There are always events going on at Concordia Theological Seminary, and an event coming up in the not-so-distant future. Tell me about that event.
Yeah, it's our confirmation weekend, and every year we have a fall and spring confirmation weekend for confirmation-age kids, and they're able to come on Friday and then Saturday, and then we worship together on Sunday. And the weekend always carries a particular theme, and so I was asked to teach this up-and-coming confirmation weekend on angels and demons, and it's entitled Angels and Demons and Ghosts, Oh My! And so we usually get about 40 to 50 confirmation age kids that come for the weekend. So they have Friday evening, we worship together and have pizza together and interact with one another. And then on Saturday, they have, it's still about 5 hours of class time. And then there's a scavenger hunt and different activities outside of that time as well. And so the adults come as well to be chaperones with the kids. And as I said, we cover a particular topic each year. And so sometimes our professors teach, and I've taught a number of confirmation retreats in the past as well.
What is your hope that students will gain from this confirmation retreat?
Well, that's a good question. I think in our Western world, we're very much what we call rationalists. We're always thinking a little bit on the level of our interaction with fellow Christians throughout our day, with other people at work and home and so on. But what about the spiritual world? You know, how do we think about angels? How do we think about demons in our daily life? You know, we pray the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, and that's the evil one, namely the devil. What do we mean by that when we pray the Lord's Prayer every day? Or when we pray Luther's morning and evening prayer, let the holy angels watch over me, that the evil foe have no power over me. So what we want to gain that weekend is an awareness of what's the big picture, not only the material world and interacting with people in our lives and situations, but what does the spiritual world have to do with us in our daily life? You know, when we get up in the morning, we go about our day. When we as Christians acknowledge the fact that there's more to the world than just the things that meet the eye, if you will, in our daily interactions. So I think it's basically how do we think about our daily life in view of angels, in view of demons and the temptations that we might get from the devil. How do we understand the Christian struggle in view of the spiritual life that's before us? So I think it's more of awareness of this, what we call the metaphysical world, as we deal with Christians. Because the very fact that we're baptized Christians, right, we belong to a greater world. You know, we're children of God. We're part of God's heavenly kingdom in Christ Jesus. So our daily life is a bigger world than people who are not Christians. Our world is something of heaven, that life which God has so graciously given to us under his grace and his truth, under the forgiveness of sins. We belong to a greater community. So I think the weekend is simply, you know, how do we as Christians, how do we see this world? How do we understand it?
So how would a retreat like this help shape that worldview, developing this Christian, this Lutheran ethos for our young people?
Right. Basically, I think it tells us as we wake up in the morning and we go about our day, that we actually do belong to a bigger world, if you will, that involves God and angels in our day of life. And so when we see life, we don't limit it to simply our daily encounters. For example, when I speak to people, I'll tell the people that you're more real to me than God. I have to interact with you. We have to interact with our situations every day in our life, you know, be it good or bad situations in our life. We have to interact with people, and people shape our lives. Our situations in our life shape our lives. It's easy to be more shaped by our events in our immediate life here than that greater life that God has given to us through his son, Jesus Christ. So I think it's basically, it's to understand that we, as I said earlier, that we belong to a bigger world. And so when we read the Bible, for example, the first thing that Jesus does in the Gospel of Mark, for example, he does an exorcism. And then he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And what does that mean? What is the spiritual world? Why does Jesus draw us first to the welfare of our own soul, then our welfare of our own body? And even when he identifies his apostles, for example, in the third chapter of Mark, he says three things about his apostles. One, that they're with me. Secondly, to go out and preach. And thirdly, that they have the authority to exercise demons. But then there's no number four. There's no healing of the body. And there's an old saying that if your soul is not right before God, your body has no hope on the day of the resurrection. But when your soul is right before God, then your body has a certain hope on the day of the resurrection. And I think what we gain from this is to see this bigger world that we belong to as Christians. And to understand that, first and foremost, much like we read in Ephesians, for example, it's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual warfare, if you will, within our own lives. But it's not only a spiritual warfare, but it's a warfare that's been won. The battle's been won, if you will, in Christ Jesus. And so I think what do we gain from this is to understand how we live in the face of our own trials and tribulations, from temptations, and all these things that we experience in a world that really wants to define our life. How do we see this life in which we live in view of the gospel, that greater life that's been won in Christ Jesus, that life that in the face of our struggles and our temptations and the temptations of the devil and all sorts of different things, how do we at the end of the day know that we are that we belong to something bigger, a life that's been won in Christ Jesus? And to understand what the role is of angels in that bigger picture. And much like we might read, for example, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, about the guardian angels watching over the children, and that the angels watch over us. But they do so because the angels are working for God. And that we know that God and his angels will always watch over us and keep us under his protection. So as far as the Lutheran ethos, of course, founded in Holy Scripture, I think it's to understand that, again, as we live out our lives as Christians, we belong to a heavenly life, a life that is known in Christ Jesus, that life under God's grace and his forgiveness, even in the face, and that our identity is associated with this life as Christians, and that we live under God's grace and truth. So this weekend, I think basically it's kind of drawing the picture that weekend, that confirmation retreat is to draw the bigger picture. To understand that we belong to something bigger. Let me give you an example. when I was in the parish, I was with a gentleman who was dying, and it was just him and I. And I drew a dot on the piece of paper, and I said to this parishioner, I said, his name was, we'll just call his name Bob for the sake of conversation. And so I said, Bob, I said, that dot on that piece of paper, that's your eventual suffering and death. And he goes, okay, Pastor. Then I drew a big circle around that dot, and I said, Bob, I said, that circle represents your life. Who's in your circle? And he goes, God, my wife, my children, my loved ones. And I said, Bob, how are you going to understand life, by the dot or the circle? He goes, the circle, Pastor. And then I gave him the word of God and the comfort that we have in the gospel. And then we celebrate the Lord's Supper with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, seeing life in the big picture, if you will. And then I went home. And then his wife and children came back from the hospital looking for different alternatives for him. And his wife calls me, and she goes, Pastor, what did you tell my husband? He's really happy. And I said, we just had a conversation. And I guess my point is the fact that a lot of times in our life, we're guided by these dots in our life, our trials, our circumstances, our eventual suffering or death. And it really defines us, really kind of guides the way we think and how we understand life and our struggles. But really, I think what we want to know is that greater circle, that greater life before God and before one another in Christ Jesus. And this also includes angels in this bigger picture, in this bigger circle, that we see the bigger world as Christians that we belong to, and not simply the little dots in our life or circumstances in our life that blinds us from the bigger picture, that bigger picture, that bigger life that God has given us. Kind of the picture that's depicted at the Lord's Supper, right? With the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, here we see a fullness of the Christian life as we're united in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. We're united with those who are around the table under the forgiveness of sins, united in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, with all the angels and all those who have died in the Lord that are united with us. And it shows that we belong to a greater life as baptized Christians. And I think the key for the weekend is, how do we see that big circle, or how do we see the big picture as Christians? How do we interpret life in view of this bigger picture that we belong to as Christians, and not be taken up by the little dots in our life, if you will, but we're taken up with the heavenly picture of that life that's been won for us in Christ Jesus.
Pastor, with just a
it's kind of like when I tell people, I'm writing a book right now, and I'll mention that confirmation weekend is, once you know how to do an exorcism, you learn how to, or what it means to be a Christian. In other words, when you go into a room, let's take a classical picture of somebody being possessed, laying in bed. Is there a battle going on? Is there a spiritual battle going on there? And the answer is yes. But as a pastor walks into the room, he's not going into the room to win something. So the battle's already been won as well in Christ Jesus. And he walks into that room as if he's walking up to a pulpit to declare the truth of the life that's been won for us in Christ Jesus. And I think this is kind of image in our Christian life. We may have struggles. We may have our ups and downs. We may have spiritual struggles. But at the end of the day, we know that our identity does not lie there. It always lies in Christ. Knowing that we're a baptized child of God, that we're redeemed, our sins are forgiven, that we belong to a greater world, a greater life, with God's heavenly angels, with all the true saints united in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, throughout the world, and that we belong, into a greater picture. So when you get up on a normal day and you go to school, go to school, you go to work, you go home, we always belong to this world as Christians, even if the world says, now you have to think secular, now you have to think Christian, now you can think Christian, now you can... No, we're always belonging to this greater world as baptized Christians. And no matter how the world wishes to define this life in which we live, we know that we belong to a greater and more true life that we have in Christ Jesus.
Pastor, so probably, we're just about out of time. How can we register for the upcoming retreat, the confirmation retreat?
Yes, you can go to our website at www.ctsfw, which stands for Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. So ctsfw.edu, and you can find the confirmation retreat on our website, and you can sign up on the website, or feel free to give a call to the seminary as well. And that's at area code 260-452-2100.
Very good. And what are the dates for the retreat again?
Oh my.
Check out the website. Check out the website, CTSFW.
Yeah, check out the website, but it is...
October 7th.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Yes, October 7th, 8th, and 9th. I just found it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Very good. Well, thanks so much for being our guest this morning, the Reverend John Dreyer, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Thanks for being my guest.
Take care, and God's blessings.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the Daily Lectionary. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.